This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everybody out there. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan, youtube.com/1080AM, the fan. What up, party people? Or podcasting, because Jeff Russ works so hard on the podcast. Sup, y'all? We have a new curse in sports. The curse of Luka Doncic. It's here. I'm starting to buy in. I am actually starting the curse of Luka Doncic. This could go the way of the Bambino, the great goat curse of the Chicago Cubs. We could have our next great sports curse, the Nico Harrison trade of Luka Doncic from Dallas.
This might be worse than that because those franchises still had the dying support of their fan bases.
Oh, don't go. Let's not overlook like a 100-year curse here. All right. I mean, we got, was it 86 years for the Red Sox to lift the curse of the Bambino?
Look.
That's a big one.
But.
That's a big one.
But you still had diehard Red Sox fans.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering what we're talking about.
It's
not just the trade of Luka Doncic. It is now the season-ending injury to Kyrie Irving.
No, it started before that. It started with the Anthony Davis injury.
Which is probably going to keep him out for the season.
And then last night, Kyrie Irving tore his ACL.
In a non-contact injury at the end of the season, which means at best, he's back in October. At best.
Well, and then we hear ownership is saying, you know what we're going to do? We're going to raise season ticket prices by 8.61%. On standard seating and double digits for the preferred seating. So club level court
13.8% was the highest that I saw.
This is fantastic.
I'm telling you, every single time, everybody's like, Blazers ownership, nah, 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 nah. More often than not, that change is not good.
Well, didn't Blazers ownership trade the star and raise ticket prices too?
Well, you had a star ask out.
I know, after 10 plus years
of the franchise.
I know.
I think it's a little bit different than, and look, and I love Damian Lillard. He's a top 75 player of all time. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, he's no Luka.
Luka has a legitimate chance to end as a top 5 player in the history of the game, and you traded him before his prime for pennies on the dollar.
All of this is stacking up to, if winning cures all, there's not going to be a cure anytime soon for the Dallas Mavericks.
No. And remember,
and like that is it. Like
making this move and getting Anthony Davis is like, we're going to win now.
Yep.
Wrong. Well, the only guy who can dribble, pass, and shoot is out for probably a year.
Yeah, I mean, 8 to 9 months at a minimum.
Yeah, and
at
again,
a minimum.
Kyrie's not 26; he's 32.
Yeah.
Like this
Blazers
is,
might make the play-in, folks. Think about that. Right now, they are 10th in the Western Conference standings. Dallas Mavericks are. They are 10th. And the Portland Trailblazers are four games behind them. Mm-hmm. They do not have Anthony Davis. They do not have Kyrie Irving. Everybody seems to be looking at it like we are right now. They're doomed. Mm-hmm. They are doomed at this point. And they've already lost their last five of their last 10 games. So,
I will say, even with that, making up four games
In 20
is a very difficult task.
I don't know. If the bottom falls out, the bottom falls out.
It does, but look, the Suns, as disrespectful for the basketball gods as they are still in front of the Blazers.
Half game, yep.
Yeah.
And they've got, I don't know, Kevin Durant.
Yes, and Devin Booker. And so,
are those guys good?
Yeah. And so can they claw and scrape by? Because here's the thing. The Suns owe their pick. They don't want to fall out and be like, hey, guys, here's a great pick, Houston Rockets. Enjoy. It's not what they want to do. You don't want to do, that's a team that you're competing with. That's a rival.
Phoenix has the toughest schedule remaining in the NBA.
Followed by the Kings and then the Blazers.
They got a game against, they got a game against the Cavaliers, game against the Thunder, two against the Celtics, one against the Knicks, one against the Lakers, one against the Nuggets. Blazers, third toughest schedule, have almost the exact same schedule. Actually, it is the exact same schedule, except for they got two against the Knicks instead of just one.
Yeah, they've got 20 total games remaining, 11 at home. They have one rest advantage game, but they have three rest disadvantage games.
You know what the Blazers do have, though? Games against the Wizards, Jazz, two with the Raptors, one with the Bulls, one with the Hawks, one with the Spurs.
And every other game is basically a team like over 600.
Yeah.
It is a very, like...
Well, Phoenix doesn't have any of those except for Raptors 1, Bulls 1, Spurs 1. They got a tough schedule.
The strength of schedule by winning percent alone is 54%.
Yeah.
So basically... Everyone they're playing is significantly above 50% because those teams, the teams that are that bad, are pulling that winning percentage down pretty drastically. Yeah. It is a very, very difficult schedule over the final 20. And the Blazers, that's the thing is, in another year where, or another situation, I could see the Blazers find a maybe if you squint, but because the gap is 4+, and that schedule, it's like you're going to basically have to win at minimum 13 of your final 20. And that's tough. I did the that's a win, that's a loss kind of a deal. And I even gave them some, and I got to 10.
Yeah, Blazers aren't doing that.
It's tough. It's incredibly tough.
No.
Because for every game that you get, you have to get also four additional losses from the teams in front of you. Actually, five, because you have to get over the 4.5.
So does the curse of Luka get lifted if they land the number one pick? Could you imagine that? What would Mavs fans do? They trade Luka because then AD gets hurt, Kyrie gets hurt, the bottom falls out, they end up winning the lottery somehow as like the with the lowest odds, and you get Cooper Flagg.
Good God.
Watch the bandwagon start loading up again.
The 1% odds. Oh, God.
I actually kind of want it to happen.
That's just...
There's a little piece of me that's like, yeah, let's see it. Or, like, say they don't get number one, but what if they jump up and they get number two or three? And they get one of those dudes.
They get a top four pick?
They get one of the guys in this draft.
The basketball gods can't allow that.
Well, I know. The way that this is going right now, the curse of Luka Doncic is the Dallas Mavericks are going to be in it in a difficult way.
Oh, my God. I just ran it four times on Tankathon.
You got him.
The Mavs jumped up to fourth.
Huh? Huh? Like,
no way.
And then Blazer fans, if the Blazers make the play-in and get unceremoniously dumped, but the Mavericks win the lottery, dude, this city might burn down.
Oh, God.
Both of those things would happen.
Good Oh, God, I didn't want to think about that.
Both things would happen.
But the insane thing is...
Like, bandwagon city burns down.
Going back to the Mavericks, I can't... This is a thing that is going to be taught in, like, sports business and, you know, sports or in journalism and everything else as far as, like, the worst PR case I think I've ever seen. Because remember, it's the Adelson family, the gambling magnates mm-hmm. of Las Vegas that bought the Dallas Mavericks. And their push is to try to get statewide gambling legalized in Texas. You know what you need in order for that to happen? Voter support. Do you think that trading away Luka Doncic, having Kyrie Irving tear his knee, having Anthony Davis being fragile as glass, and then raising ticket prices 9%, do you think that that is going to get public support on your side?
No.
If anything else, you should have lowered ticket prices, taken an economic hit, and been like, look, we are here for the long haul, and we do care. And yes, we do want to make gambling legal in Texas, and we want to build a new arena and a casino right alongside it. Help us.
Didn't the Adelson family buy a newspaper in the Vegas?
In Vegas, yeah.
The Vegas Review?
Yes.
To make sure they got positive pub?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you just buy all of them in Dallas.
Did Dallas Morning News? Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, Jerry Jones did basically threaten a guy on the radio for calling him out on a radio station that he basically owns.
That's right. That's right.
So
it could happen.
Do you think Jerry's just out here like, how dare you out-basket case me?
Well, the most happy people about this should be the Dallas Cowboys ownership right now. Because Jerry Jones, we didn't talk about this, Jerry Jones is actually kind of Homer Simpsoning this thing and going back into the bushes right now. He didn't do a press conference at the combine.
Oh my God, you're right.
He didn't do one.
Smiles and glory holes.
Did Stephen Jones?
No.
Wow.
He did a couple of interviews, but the big Jerry Jones press conference that he just talks to the gaggles of reporters, he didn't do it. So maybe the awareness is growing on the Cowboys front because of how dysfunctional the Mavericks are right now.
I just clicked through the Tankathon a few more times.
They won it?
No, the Phoenix Suns did, giving Cooper Flagg to the Houston Rockets.
Oh, boy.
There are some dark paths. There are some dark, 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 dark paths that could happen here. You throw Cooper Flagg on a team with Amen Thompson.
Yeah, I'm pretty good, dude.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Well, for the Blazers, they may be the beneficiaries of this by making the plan. That would also send a draft pick to Chicago if that happens. You know? That Neil O'Shea pick will finally free up everything else.
It's not making the play-in. They would have to make the actual playoffs.
Oh, really?
Yes.
God, can we just make it for the play-in?
No, because they would have to get into the final eight.
Oh, golly.
Because if they make the play-in and they get bounced in the first round, let's say they make the 10 seed because you got to win two games to get mm-hmm. in, you would need to win both games in order to get into the top eight, which would take you out of the lottery. Getting into the play-in would just drive the pick further back.
Nuts.
Depending on where you end up falling in the seeding.
Well, let's make the play-in then get Cooper Flagg. How about that?
I mean, with that, what, at the 14th? At the either the 0.5 or the 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
That would be the basketball gods righting a lot of wrongs.
No?
I'd be all for it.
Sure. All right. It's official. Sam Darnold, not franchise tag. Next on The Fan. The Minnesota Vikings opted not to franchise tag Sam Darnold. All the newsbreakers in the NFL are reporting that.
Raider.
We got a little two-pronger here on why the Vikings opted for that. Actually, maybe three prongs. The first one being, obviously, the health of J.J. McCarthy, who had a year to sit, learn with his meniscus injury that held mm-hmm. him out for the year. But importantly, as it pertains to Sam Darnold, is that when they brought him in, there was an agreement that they brought him in for $10 million to bet on himself. And they said, you know, we're going to let that market dictate. You do right by us, we'll do right by you. And he played really damn well for all but about three games.
For 14 weeks.
And the last two are the lasting impression
yes.
where
unfortunately
they played two really good teams and he looked really bad against them. The Lions and the Rams, those games were awful.
Lopsided.
They were awful performances. But that may lead to the other prong of $40.2 million for Sam Darnold. They don't want to be in the $40 million Sam Darnold game. They would much rather be in the, hey, let's be in a position where we can put the best talent around a guy like Sam Darnold. And the way you do that is having him on a cheaper deal. And look, that's the reality. And this is going to be the interesting thing is that Darnold can go on the market and shop himself a la Matthew Stafford and then maybe go and talk to teams and realize I may not be getting all of the money that I want, but the situation may be better for him to be in Minnesota where if I come here on a cheaper deal, they could put more pieces around me that make me successful and our team successful. Or the Raiders are going to give him everything he wants.
I don't think the Raiders are going to give him everything he wants, but I think if they look around the market and they decide to go down that path, they're just going to give him just a little bit more and maybe a couple more years. Because if I look at the Vikings, are you looking at that and giving anything more than 2 years? At most,
if you're the Vikings,
yeah, it's probably a two with an option.
No, yeah.
At most, where the Raiders, I could see them giving him two guaranteed years.
He is, and this is the thing about Sam Darnold. He's only 27 years old.
Yeah, he's young.
He is still very young, and he's got a lot of football that is still ahead of him.
He's a replacement level quarterback,
and that is the thing: is that you hope that the awareness of the Raiders is he's not that guy that
is going to be carrying
us. No, he is going to be a guy that, in the right situation with the right team, can be successful, which is what we saw this past year. And he was really damn good. You saw exactly why he was so highly regarded coming out of USC.
And if you're the Raiders, because that's the Giants have kind of kicked that can, but I don't think they're going to go anywhere near that, just the New York stuff in general.
They're going to trade up.
Yeah. If any other team is going to sign Sam Darnold, it's going to be the Raiders. And the way that I look at this, and I'm not like pounding the drum, my personal preference as Raider fan is to try to land Jackson Dart in the second round. That's ultimately where I land. I'm not looking at Shador. You're
still going to have a quarterback for this year.
Yeah.
You could sign Sam Darnold, draft Jackson Dart too. You can have them both, bud.
Yeah, in which case, it's fine, because where do the Raiders sit in salary cap? Only the Patriots have more. They have a crap ton of money to play with.
And if there's one thing that we've learned, it's that the team that spends the most money in free agency has the best year. See the Titans.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and again, but they don't need to go spend that money like crazy.
Yeah.
But if you spend it smartly and you set a stable framework, and the hope with the Raiders is with a new head coach, a new general manager, look, Telesco, I thought, had an incredible draft last year. He took the best player available with Brock Bowers. He took five starters out of that draft. The Raiders have had functionality basically everywhere on the field but quarterback. Now, wide receiver, yeek. Running back, yeek. The two skill spots, which is a scary proposition when you're talking about bringing in Sam Darnold. But if you spend a little bit of money and get some patchwork, you know, decent wide receivers, you get a patchwork running back, and you get a stopgap quarterback, and you spend the draft nailing your picks, and you get stability everywhere else. I'm not expecting them to be the team that goes from worst to first or something like that in the division. It happens across the NFL, but I don't expect that from them. That's 2 years away. But spend the next 2 years drafting and doing everything else you need to do, and then hope and pray that you land a spot somewhere down the road where you can get the quarterback and have everything else ready to go.
Yep. Yeah. You just hope. You just sit there and hope. In other quarterback news, Ian Rapoport apparently today reported that it is increasingly more likely that Justin Fields is a starter in Pittsburgh than Russell Wilson.
I don't understand how you come to that conclusion. I do, because it's the Steelers and they just can't figure out that position.
Well, they went 4-2.
Yeah, but how good was Fields in those games?
He wasn't great. Russell Wilson wasn't great either.
Really. That's what I mean. It's like, to me, that's the team that should be looking at Sam Darnold.
Take the younger guy. Their cap situation for this year, Pittsburgh has
$60 million. They have space.
They got $60 million.
They have space,
but I don't think that's a good spot for Sam Darnold. Because
if you're talking about being competitive right now, which the Steelers are always competitive right now, that is how they play the game. That is the foundation of them. Who is a better fit for that team right now?
Well,
come on. It's Sam Darnold. Look, I know I'm higher on him than I am on Fields when it comes to you, but Fields is not a good quarterback. There's not a redeeming quality. With Sam Darnold, you can squint and get to redeeming.
Well, I think you're ignoring. Justin Fields did have some flashes. He's not a good quarterback either. No. I don't think Sam Darnold would work very well there because George Pickens would eat him alive.
You're not wrong there.
I think that's why I don't think Darnold would be because Mike Tomlin does a great job with crazy. Mm-hmm. His track record is amazing.
It's
with crazy.
Probably the best.
Antonio crazy. Brown, Le'Veon Bell. No. I mean, James Harrison, totally different kind of crazy, but crazy.
They keep him around the organization because I think they like a little crazy.
The George Pickens crazy can eat a quarterback. I mean, we saw it with Kenny Pickett.
Yeah,
right. Like. That when that can go sideways, boy, it goes.
And that's kind of the knock on Darnold is that's the kind of stuff that can be problematic.
Yeah.
No, Justin Jefferson's a little bit crazy, but you didn't see any issues with that there.
Well, Justin Jefferson, I mean, he's just so confident in his. Do you see? He's like, I don't care who it is. You give me any quarterback, I'll make him look good. And he did.
I mean, proof in the pudding.
Just
and
all play that. 500, dude. Just go out and do it. This is a really hard year for if you're a team looking for a quarterback, whether you're the Raiders, Steelers, Giants, because this is also a year we don't have the elite guy in the draft who is a slam dunk, surefire. Cam Ward is the best quarterback in this draft. I don't think that is particularly close. And especially coming out of interviews, the teams really seem to feel that way even more. But you don't have the options either. In the free agent market, which is never a good market if you're looking for a quarterback, you got to draft your quarterback. You have to have one that is yours. And Pittsburgh is always that team that thinks that they can do it with their guys. And now both Fields and Russell Wilson are their guys. They're going to let it roll, baby.
That's not a bet I want to get into.
No, I wouldn't either.
All right, coming up on our worst day on the web, I'm a child. Okay. I see wonderful headline. I can't. Resist. Coming out of New York,
Danny Manchild.
Illicit spa owner named Soon Bang has been nabbed in a New York / New Jersey prostitution bust.
Oh, here we go.
We'll get to that more coming up. First, here's the big kahuna of the Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
Look, I'm a 14-year-old boy at heart. I see incredible headline. I can't resist. A spa owner in New Jersey, and I'm not kidding, her legal name is Soon Bang, has been snagged in a prostitution bus in an interagency effort to crack down on human trafficking and sex work in the United States. I wish the radio medium sometimes had the ability to like transition the images I see on my screen to your brain. Because the ad for this reads, relax and re-energize. And to be blunt, it has a smoke show woman who works at the said club.
Okay.
It says, happy massage time.
Oh.
Clean, quiet, and comfortable.
Boy.
And the picture is exactly like you
would think. I wonder what tipped off the authorities.
It is a young, very attractive, very well-built Asian woman in what appears to be a silky dress with no undergarments, with a sexual pose, as it were. And that's usually a dead giveaway. They found large amounts of U.S. currency, which they said is indicative of prostitution, as opposed to, you know, if you go to a massage parlor, a nail parlor, anything along those lines, mm-hmm. They prefer you to tip in cash. Let's be honest. They just go ahead and pop
advice it. Time with Danny Morang.
You know, even like restaurant employees and such, they'd rather you tip in cash because you're not having to report that on your mm-hmm. credit card tips at the end of the night.
Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about.
Look, Uncle Sam gets their fair share. Like, we all know the game.
Aren't they changing that?
What's
Aren't we changing that? Taxes on tips?
Yeah, there's they always goes
well,
back and
wish
forth.
In one hand and yeah, we'll, guess what in the other.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see which ends up happening. But I just soon bang.
That's not
her American name was Cindy.
Oh, Cindy Bang.
Mm.
Okay, so
it's like the name of the Japanese twins in the Austin Powers movie that I shall not try to say today.
That's exactly what came to my mind. It's 100% what came to my mind. Twins? I love it when the universe comes together like this. I genuinely do.
You're on the right way for a spanked bottom, and I don't care who knows it.
Wow, that was good. Russ, that was a really good Austin Powers you just did there. Yeah, I'm not quite sure their advertising was the best for what they were actually it was really good for what they were trying to accomplish.
It was maybe too good.
But not discreet enough.
No, not it was look, I get it. You're in New York, New Jersey and you're competing with other establishments. But the flyer that basically reads we're a sex shop.
Yeah.
Probably not your...
Dead giveaway.
Not your best idea.
That's the equivalent of this bag does definitely not have drugs in it.
Yeah. Yes, and remember, that woman got pulled over and arrested twice in the span of 2 weeks.
Yeah. There's definitely not drugs in this bag. Don't look in there.
And in that bag, it contained large amounts of methamphetamine.
We never saw it coming.
That's not the universe colliding. That's just rampant stupidity. Yeah. Soon bang, that's, you know...
Yeah.
That's just the universe coming together and really just joining hands.
It joining something. But you're not wrong, my man. You are not wrong.
I love a great headline. This is going to be a little double dip just because these are both a little bit smaller. I saw this one pop up too because I was like, that can't be real, right? No, I actually tracked it down to an actual news source. The Citigroup Bank mistakenly credited a customer with $81 trillion instead of 280.
Saw that. I also, this is not the first time Citibank has done this.
Yes, because the audits come up.
A bit of an oversight with the $81
trillion. $81 trillion is almost three times the size of the U.S. GDP, which is just under $30
trillion. So is this like somebody typing it in and then just leaning on the zero on the keyboard? Like, maybe how do you make that mistake?
Maybe hitting the tab button a little too fast and you're trying to input the line above?
But I don't know how many you get that many zeros. I have no idea. And it's $280?
Yeah.
$81 trillion?
Yeah.
That's not really even that close.
You type 280 and the 2 didn't hit and the 8 and you hit the 1 on accident and the 0 got stuck.
One thing I do know, though, is that it's not okay to go spend that money if you find out before the bank does.
Now, the bank did catch it and the funds didn't actually leave because of a multitude of reasons. There's checks and balances in place that catch this stuff. But the currency that would be needed for that, it gets routed through the Federal Reserve when it's that high.
Oh, really? $81
trillion? Yeah. You remember when the Washington Commanders were purchased by Josh Harris? Because the money originated from overseas, a $5 billion check had to be cleared through the Federal Reserve.
Mm.
When that amount of money / currency is changing hands in the United States, it gets routed through the Federal Reserve.
So there was a man who, his name is Stephen Fields.
Mm-hmm.
He went in a check of $31,000 was accidentally put into his bank account back in 2014. And he was 18.
Yeah.
He was young. He went and spent $20,000 like that.
Yeah.
He was charged with theft and he was sentenced to 10 years probation. And he had to pay restitution on it.
I mean, the case of finders versus keepers is not not holding up here.
Right? Come on.
Honestly, that feels like, look.
Your mistake and I get.
I screw up and I overdraft.
Yeah.
I got to pay for it. Yeah. But you screw up and I punish you for it.
Yeah. See, what are we doing here?
Well, we got to protect the banks from their own stupidity.
I mean.
You're not protecting me from my own stupidity.
It's called credit cards.
Of which those can get out of control.
I think we have learned that with America. Well, actually, world. world. But what would you do if you found that much money? Well, 81 trillion is a little bit different.
That's a bit much. 30,000 versus 81 trillion.
Yeah, there was a few years ago, there was the couple in Louisiana that Chase Bank accidentally put $50 billion into their account. And they were doing the...
I'm going to hit that ATM so fast.
time to check our bank statement here. And, ooh, look at that. $50 billion is in there.
And again,
seems a little bit different. Did you get a raise, honey?
We talked about this last week. My apparently, we need to pull this, I think.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you check your banking apps?
Yeah.
I posed this question to my other work husband, Joe Simons. Mm-hmm. And I said, how many times a day do you check your banking apps? He paused and he goes, 4. He didn't hear us talk about it earlier in the day. And I was like,
he checks 4 times a day?
Yeah. He goes, at least multiple times.
That's psycho behavior.
No,
that's psycho behavior.
I draw them to me. I am a moth to the flame of the psychos.
Yeah,
I am at least once, probably twice. If I found a large sum of money, I wouldn't call Odyssey. I would probably call K2. I'm like, Odyssey's not going to screw up. Give me that money. K2 might though.
Nah, they ain't gonna do that. They ain't gonna do that, dude. That's a good call on your part.
You know what I mean? Like, I know where the bread's being buttered there, as far as the size of corporation and who has more money in that vein. I'd call it in just because.
And no, coming up next week on Dusty and Rusty.
Look, man. Go look and see what stocks are trading at. It's we know where it stands.
Google tells me that once a week is on average.
On average?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm probably a couple, 3 times a week.
Actually, the AI was wrong, but 36% of Americans check their bank account daily.
So it is higher.
30% check it weekly. 18% check it less than once a month. So you're at 48% of people are a week or more.
So the people that don't, I think those are the two very far edges of the scale, in that they have more money than God, or they know they have no money.
That 18%, they don't want to scare themselves.
They don't want to. They're like, I know it's overdrawn.
I know I don't want to check that. I don't want to know that trip to McDonald's that I made last night was my grocery money.
Yeah. Or a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, definitely not 4 times a day.
Yeah. Look, I'm a multiple time a day guy.
All right, we've got. Oh, okay, now I got the full breakdown here. 36% every day, 30% once a week, once a month is 8%, twice a month 8%, less than once a month, 18%. So, there's your.
Yeah, those are probably them folks that are doing just fine.
Yeah, they are doing just fine. They are doing just fine.
According to this report, the Financial Times reported that there were 10 near misses by Citigroup alone of over $1 billion in 2024, which is actually down from 13 cases in 2023. In 2020, they accidentally sent $900 million to the creditors of a cosmetics company, Revlon, instead of a $7.8 million interest payment.
Yeah.
It took 2 years of legal action to recover most of the money. It led to the early retirement of then CEO Michael Corbat and a fine of $400 million from U.S. regulators over unsafe and unsound banking practices. Good Lord.
That's wild.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So, I mean, we put all of our faith in our banks to hold up.
And yet we get hit with $25 fees if we go a dollar over.
Well, yeah, because they're putting billions of dollars into multiple people's bank accounts every year accidentally.
Unfreaking believable. All right, coming up next, are we about to see the next unbreakable record be attained? Coming up on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. The longevity and greatness of LeBron James, I don't care where you stand on him, if you have Michael Jordan first of all time, whatever. What he is doing at this point in his career is something we have never seen done, and his longevity and productivity is going to put a number up that is going to be untouched. This is going to be an unbreakable record. This is up there with the Ted Williams hit streak. This is up there with Cal Ripken's consecutive games played. This is a number that's never going to be touched. LeBron James ended his game the other night against the Los Angeles Clippers with 49,999 points. Oof. The next game he goes into, the next point he scores, he will be the first player to break the 50,000 point barrier.
And look, what LeBron is doing at age 40, and they play tonight, by the way, he will score a point. They play the Pelicans. Have good feeling about that. But LeBron and what he's doing at 40 years old is absolutely bonkers, because he was named Western Conference Player of the Month this past month. The oldest player ever to win Western Conference Player of the Month. The previous oldest player was Karl Malone at 37 years old. The longevity of LeBron is absolutely insane.
Do you know that this year he is averaging more points, rebounds, and assists, better field goal percentage, better three-point percentage, better efficiency across the board than his 2012-13 MVP season?
I did know that in Miami, where he was insane. And, like, nobody's talking about LeBron being an MVP this year. They are the second-best team in the Western Conference, if nobody's been watching.
Yes.
They are the two-seed right
now. Despite being very flawed, because he has been so incredibly good.
And he now, I was looking up the Player of the Month awards, mm-hmm. because it said he's the oldest to do it. Mm-hmm. I was looking at, there's only three times has a player 20 years old won the Player of the Month. He did it twice in his second year in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Dwight Howard is the only other player, and their birthdays are pretty close.
Yeah.
He might be the youngest and the oldest person to ever win the award.
He won his first one in November of 2004.
Yeah. What?
So was that his first full month as a rookie?
That's year two.
Year two? Because okay, he was rookie in 03.
Yeah. Okay.
But again,
it was his second year in the league.
Winning like rookie of the month? Yeah, of course. Like, it was him and Carmelo basically traded that back and forth throughout the season in the Eastern Conference. In the Eastern Western Conference. The player of the month in the NBA, whether it's conference based or not, that is a very difficult thing to do as a young player. You just don't see that happen.
Yeah.
This is going to be a number. For those that are wondering, this is combined points, playoffs and regular season. But as far as records go, LeBron James' current playoff points in his career, 8,162. Do you know who's number two?
No.
It's very easy. Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
It's
Michael Jordan. Jeffrey Jordan.
At 5,987. LeBron James has 2,200 more points in the playoffs. In the regular season, LeBron James is number one all time, 41,837 currently. That is 3,500 more points than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's never going to be touched. It's never going to be touched. It's never, ever, 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 ever going to be touched.
Well, we say that now, but we also said that about Wayne Gretzky's goal record, and Ovi is 11 away from that.
Yes, and he will break that record, but he will come nowhere near the points record.
No, he nowhere near the points record.
Nobody ever will.
No.
What's the old stat? You can take away Gretzky's assists, and he'd still have the most or the second most points of all time or something like along those lines? Or just take away his goals, and I think he has the most or second most points of all time.
So if you're looking at, and I went and I looked this up because my brain works weird. LeBron James won his first Player of the Month mm-hmm. in November of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So between December and February, you're looking at like, how many people would be, never mind. I didn't do that right. That came up birth weight. Never mind. How many people were born in that 2 month stretch in the United States? 3 months, December, January, February. You're looking at millions of people
mm-hmm.
that are old enough to drink in the United States right now.
Since he won his first player.
His first and his current Player of the Month. 21 years. 21 years it's been since he won his first Player of the Month. There's millions of Americans that can now drink that were not alive when LeBron James won his first one.
Well, I mean, we talked about this when the...
That's crazy!
When Shaden, Scoot, Donovan, those guys, they all... Or, I'm sorry, Shaden and Donovan turned 21.
Yeah.
Just recently. They were not alive when LeBron James made a debut. and throw Scoot Henderson and Ryan Repair in that on that list as well.
That's crazy.
They were not alive, and they're playing against this guy that gave them 40. This will never happen again for one very particular reason, beyond the fact that LeBron James is the most physically dominant longevity athlete in the history of sports.
Mm-hmm.
He came into the NBA straight out of high school. It's not going to happen again.
No. You don't think they're going to get rid of the one-and-done rule eventually?
Nope. The NBA loves it, and college basketball loves it.
Yeah.
And with NIL now, it's never going away.
I think they should get rid of it with NIL, because fewer guys are going to do it anyways.
How long?
Right? Have the guys that are ready just be able to go.
The once-in-a-millennium athlete?
Yeah.
Because that's what LeBron was. There's a difference between him and Travis Outlaw or Martell Webster.
Because Sebastian Telfair and Martell Webster were two guys that they went because they were like, well, I can get money.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can get money and go to college without blocking the high school kid to go.
Sure.
Right? Like, and I think one thing that we're overlooking, LeBron was held back a year. That's not the case anymore with the elite athletes. They are skipping grades in order to get there early.
Reclass. Remember, he turned 18 in December.
Yeah.
Jeremiah Fears, the point guard at Oklahoma, who's also probably very likely going to be a lottery pick this year. He's another guy that reclassed. In basketball, I think you see it significantly more frequently because of the physicality.
Happening more and more.
It's a little bit different. But you're seeing it more in football. I asked you about this yesterday because I saw a cornerback reclass from 27 to 26, and I went, that's weird.
Get them money sooner.
But those guys can't go to the NFL. It's a little bit different.
Bigger, stronger, faster. Mm-hmm. Now it is. You could get to that second payday, which is, I mean, both of them are pretty dumb, because what you're doing is you're saying, yeah, we're going to defy genetics with the bigger, stronger, faster. Like, oh yeah, hold you back a year. You'll grow more. Do you?
Yeah.
You usually. I mean, cap out at a certain level.
I'll say, in my graduating class, we did. I think we had four guys that were held back.
Yeah,
And they were all athletes. Yeah.
I was. I didn't grow anymore.
I mean,
still small.
I was on the other side of that spectrum. I came into high school at 12 years old. I turned 13 my freshman year.
That is so dumb.
Yeah. I was very young. I was very young going to high school. I was a 5'2", 110-pound 13-year-old my freshman year.
Gosh.
Yeah. Other side of that scale, not physically ready to
How is that possible? I was 15 in eighth grade. I got my permit at the end of eighth grade.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
I was a baby in the class.
You were 12?
No, I'm sorry. I was 13. I was 13. I turned 14 my freshman year.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Because, I didn't turn 18 until like a couple of weeks before I left for college. I was a baby of the class. I was an August baby.
I was the youngest person in my class.
That was the benefit of being held back.
You got the car early?
Car early. First person to buy beer in college. Well, that was also my fake ID, but
I only trusted mine at the Capital Market on 12th and State in Salem.
Mine never got taken away.
Mine did. Moose McGillicuddy's in San Diego.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They were able to sniff that out, huh?
Yeah,
he held it there for a second, and then, chatting with me, and then by that time, he had the book out, and he goes, see, the problem is, your ID here looks nothing like this picture in this book of driver's licenses. And I was like, well, that's weird.
I'll be dang. Well, I'll just take that back, and I'll take this to my DMV, and I'll rectify this situation, sir.
Yeah, and he goes, I hope you didn't pay too much money for this piece of crap.
That's a tough place to be. It's a tough place to be.
Mr. Sledgehammer.
Nick Lovin. Goodness gracious. All right, coming up now, number three, we're going to revisit the Portland Trailblazers. They get another win against the Philadelphia 76ers, or another win on the road, I should say, this time against the Philadelphia 76ers, guaranteeing at least a successful 4-win road trip out of 7 games. What do you want to see down the final 20 games, as well as the prestige zone has circled the Portland Trailblazers, at least for one player? Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan.